Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
James Comey is getting horrible advice. He is interfering in this election. I don't understand what the guy's doing, but just from pure political point of view, it is a nightmare for the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign. I know why they're upset. They should be.
I think what Jim Comey did was to throw overboard Justice Department procedures because of political reasons, his own internal politics, because of the hatred for Hillary Clinton within the FBI.
This is just the worst possible situation for the FBI, for the country, for Hillary Clinton, certainly.
Why throw that stink bomb in the middle of this, you know, at the very end of the campaign? I think that's a real big problem.
It does seem like we have a problem with the FBI director.
Comey has said high-profile investigations make him feel pressure to do things quickly and do it well. Tonight, his critics are wondering if he has failed on both counts.
Howard Dean, former Democratic candidate for president, says, quote, he may have destroyed the credibility of the FBI forever, put himself on the same side as Putin.
I think that was a horrendous decision on his part and one that he should and probably does regret.
It's clear that his disclosure and the spate of now competing, one might even say warring, FBI leaks that have followed have raised serious questions about the FBI's integrity and impartiality.
The FBI director of the United States is allowing himself to be interjected into this political campaign. Unprecedented.
It sets a precedent. It's a bad precedent. We have never seen this before.
Nope. Do you think Comey has put the finger on the scale for Donald Trump?
It just makes the FBI look like a wing of the Republican Party.
I don't understand what Comey's doing. That's my main thought about all this.
All right, glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone. That's all the media. That's everybody on the left. Everybody that is now going to be all things James Comey, basically throwing him down the stairs, which shows how political they all are. Everybody angry that, oh, James Comey's, he never did the investigation at the end of the day, and they were pressuring him not to, and clearly that had some impact. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Rand Paul is outraged at what's happening in the invasion, if you will, or the raid of Michael Cohen's home. We're going to get to that in the course of the program. Sally Cohn, I've known her for many, many years. Really, really nice person. She wrote the book, The Opposite of Hate, a field guide to repairing our humanity. And it's amazing that there are some of us that can actually get along with people that disagree with us. And then there are other people that absolutely hate us just because we are conservative. Linda, that brings up a question. I was apparently named like the top in the top. They don't number them. The 35 most influential media people or whatever by the Hollywood Reporter. I was last year, too. There's a big party tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight. And I don't know if I should go or not.
You look so dressed up.
No, I'm not dressed up at all.
Those jeans look really clean.
I'm wearing jeans. I could put a jacket on.
Did you put on clean socks?
I put on clean socks every day. Yes.
Well, then you're ready to go.
So you think I should go?
Absolutely.
And say hi to all the media elite that hate me in that party, because they're all going to hate me there. Listen to me. There's not going to be a single.
Listen, if you feel uncomfortable, you can wear my red dress. It's going to be weird, but
really?
I'll share it with you.
Okay.
You should go. Just think about all their blood pressure going up as you walk in
there.
Well,
I think that's why I'm selected for these things. I think I'm brought in for the, I'm like the entertainment for the evening. You know, the shock and awe. Do your little shock thing that you do with Liam. Yeah. Which is phony, contrived Linda acting outraged. That's like the liberal
just
media.
Just say you hate
there.
It. It's easier.
No, I don't hate it.
Thank you, Sean Hannity, for taking this time out of your day.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll think about it. Now, here's the fascinating thing.
By the way, I don't think you should go.
Okay. The fascinating thing about all of this is, so yesterday when we come on the air, the headline on Drudge all day yesterday had to do with this upcoming pending interview with George Stephanopoulos. Now, by the way, did they not pick the perfect guy to do the first interview with James Comey? Let's get the guy that basically didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton and let Hillary Clinton off the hook. So let's get the biggest Clinton sycophant supporter that we can, George Stephanopoulos. And by the way, he denied our request to come on the TV show and come on this program, which doesn't shock me. So anyway, so they did the interview earlier this week at some point. I don't know exactly when. And this is the big ABC promo. And listen to when Stephanopoulos says that Comey refers to the president of the United States as a mob guy.
How strange is it for you to sit here and compare the president to a mob boss?
This Sunday night on ABC.
Are there things that you know but haven't said that could damage President Trump?
James Comey.
And to those who say you should have brought Hillary Clinton before a grand jury?
The exclusive interview everyone will be talking about.
Was President Trump obstructing justice? Should Donald Trump be impeached?
Stephanopoulos. Comey. This Sunday night at a special time, 10, 9 Central on ABC.
So that's the big push that the liberal media is making about this interview. All right, so now we've got Comey. He's going to compare the president of the United States of America to a mob guy. Now, I did this yesterday on the air. Michael, I've always said, Don Jr., this is not for you. I let Fredo get into the business. Let Sonny. Sonny's made for this business. I never wanted this for Michael. I never wanted this for Don Jr. And yet, they keep dragging my family in. They always talk, the Corleone this, the Corleone family that. They talk about the Trump crime family this. Why don't they talk about the Clinton crime family? Or the Mueller crime family? Or why don't they talk about the Comey crime family? I want to talk about the Comey. All right, so I make a big deal last night. I had no idea that the president was tweeting out that to watch the show last night. I didn't even know till after the show started, which he's done before. And so I actually think because he was with Alan Dershowitz yesterday, Alan Dershowitz knew he was going to be on last night. And so I'm assuming that the president knew that, and he maybe knew that Joe DiGenova was on. I didn't tell him Joe DiGenova was on. And what most people don't understand, I actually, in spite of the fact that I begin the process of writing my nightly monologue all day long and putting my notes together and doing my reading and preparing all through this show today, I'm going to be sending notes, add this, add this, add this, add this. Just like all day long, I'm sending stuff to my radio team. We're going to add this. I want this tape. I want that tape. Let's get that guest. Let's do this. That's just the way we fly. And I'm literally working up till, you know, 2 minutes to nine every night, putting the final touches on what becomes our opening monologue on TV. And radio, it's more free form. And I don't prepare an opening monologue as the same way that you do on television. And so I knew last night that when I started here on the radio, it just started beginning to sink in with me. So I decided, well, if that's going to be the Comey standard, that we're not going to be able to say, refer to people as being parts of mobsters or the head of a mob family, mob families that, let's see, murder, you know, are involved in drug dealing and prostitution and extortion and money laundering and all types of racketeering. If that's Comey's comment, okay, let's use the Comey standard. And so I went on the air and I said, okay, well, let's talk about the Clinton crime family. Let's talk about the Mueller crime family. Let's talk about the Comey crime family. And anyway, so throughout the day, we were making these charts, sort of like an FBI chart. Remember the movie about Frank Lucas that had Denzel Washington and who else was in it? Russell Crowe was in it. Well, they actually had a board. On the board, you have, okay, this is the head of the crime family. Then you got the soldiers, and then you got the capos, and then you got the consigliere, and you got this person and that person and associates or whatever. And it begins to fan out in terms of you're putting together whatever, you know, crimes that they might have committed in a search to get indictable crimes or whatever. All right, so I did that with them. And the media is so stupid that the media is like, they're tweeting amongst themselves because they live in this bubble that somehow that this came out of just thin air. And they're not understanding that, okay, if that's your guy's standard. They love Comey now. They hated Comey then. It's actually a great Newsbusters piece, flashback, before they loved James Comey, the liberal media trashed James Comey, which we just played some of it for you. So I went into this whole thing, and you literally have everybody now breathlessly waiting for this interview with George Stephanopoulos and waiting, what does Comey say about Donald Trump? And that's what that promo for ABC was all about. But if we're going to compare people to mob bosses like, what, Al Capone or Lucky Luciano, or maybe we'll compare him to John Gotti, who else do you want to compare him to? So if James Comey wants to use that standard, I said, okay, well, we'll use your standard. You know what? He's doing it to make himself look good. He wants to make money in all of this. And if they're going to use the sweeping, broad generalization and analogy, I said, okay, we'll do the same thing back to you. And I said, let's talk about a family responsible for actual crimes. That's the Clinton crime family. Again, Comey's analogy. But when you think about it, we know Hillary Clinton committed crimes. We know that you're not allowed to do the things that she did with her hard drive and obstruct justice the way she did. You know, all of these things. And then Comey and Strzok and Page and McCabe and everybody else, their insurance policy, et cetera, you don't write exonerations before investigations. You don't do that. You know, I thought it was so bad that foreign nationals would try to influence America's elections. Well, Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC funneled money through a law firm hiring Fusion GPS, which hired a foreign national, Christopher Steele, who then went and got Russian lies and Russian government lies so they can manipulate the American voters in the last election. I thought that's what Mueller's mandate was supposed to be about. But they don't care about it because it doesn't have the word Trump in it. It's only this is the danger here, the two-tier justice system. One system of justice for them, one rule of law for them, and the something different entirely for the rest of us. And so, and then, of course, lying to a FISA court judge so you can spy on an American. You're shredding the Constitution. If literally you have people that are allowed to go before a FISA court judge and the bulk of the information they're presenting to the judge wasn't vetted, wasn't corroborated as required by the FISA law, as required by FBI protocol, it becomes the bulk of information. Something that had already been denied, a FISA warrant on a Trump campaign associate, and that what put it over the top, Andrew McCabe's own words, if there was no dossier, then there wouldn't have even been a FISA application. So that dossier was everything to getting a warrant to spy on an American citizen. And to get it, they lied before a FISA court judge in their FISA court application, both in what they said, which wasn't verified, which wasn't corroborated, which is their responsibility, and by what they omitted, that Hillary, an opposition party candidate, had paid for the entire thing. It sounds like crimes were committed, doesn't it? And this is why, again, we sit on a two-tier justice system, especially when we have the FBI and the DOJ sitting on 1.2 million documents, and they're not producing them to Congress, which has congressional and constitutional authority and oversight. And we'll get to all of this here. And in the media, by the way, it was like Alka-Seltzer and water. They bubbled and fizzed, as I anticipated last night. See, what's happening is the American people fundamentally see a double standard and fundamental unfairness that has emerged in all of this. And that's why the president's approval ratings keep going up and up and up and up every day. You know, look at yesterday, for example. Finally, Rod Rosenstein, I guess, who met with the president at the White House over, quote, routine matters. I would assume the president knows that he's going to race back to his computer and take notes the way Comey did, only for Trump, not for anybody else. Anyway, so, you know, look at what it took to get Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy to get to see the two-page document that apparently led to the original decision to look into Trump-Russia collusion. I mean, it always has to get pushed to a crisis point. Now we have Bob Goodlatte, House Judiciary. They want 1.2 million documents. They're not being turned over. Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch is told, well, it's going to take 3 years to get the Strzok Page emails finally through the Freedom of Information Act. And what you have is Rod Rosenstein complying you know, only with the demand on the two pages, only after it's brought to a crisis point. Nunes demanded that the document be unredacted. What Rosenstein ended up turning over was minimally redacted for national security reasons. But they don't want to give over any of this information. And then we all sit back and we're wondering, okay, we know Hillary committed felonies. We know the fix was in that they rigged the investigation into Hillary's email server. We've had over a year now the inspector general doing whatever he's supposed to be doing. We keep getting that pushback. Do we have any update when we might finally get the inspector general's report? No. Nobody knows. That goes on. Now we have the inspector general immediately thereafter. Then he's going to begin the process of now looking into FISA abuses. And yet every single day you got Mueller and this corrupt team with him, Andrew Weissman, and all of these Obama-Clinton donors he put together. You don't want fairness if you appoint Andrew Weissman. You want the most ruthless people if you hire Andrew Weissman. And then, by the way, and that also, too, I guess this guy on CNN is all angry that I have dared to question the integrity and the narrative about Rob Mueller. I'm like, well, look what he did in the anthrax case. Look what he did in the Whitey Bulger case. That was another thing. Whitey Bulger's picture was on the Mueller crime family thing that we put together last night in response to the Comey standard. Oh, what? He's comparing him to Whitey Bulger. They're so stupid in the media. They don't even know about Robert Mueller and the Whitey Bulger case. It takes my breath away. It shouldn't, but it does. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. All right, I got to send this out. Dot, 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 dot. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's riveting. Riveting.
It's riveting radio. Exactly. Well, I'm trying to do things that are good for the show and trying to get things in order so we can have a perfect show today. That's what I'm trying to do. But Ethan keeps screwing up my call screener here, and it just doesn't read.
Yeah, that's the problem, Ethan. There you go.
I think you need to come
in. Just throw me under the bus, thanks.
All right, kids, it's a mess right now, so if you need to come in, because it just went down again. So now Linda has to come in and do your job again, because you didn't fix it the last time. But you're just lucky, because I saw that you didn't fix it right, because otherwise she would have said, no, that's my fault, which would have been a total lie to the audience, because...
Sometimes servers go down. I walked out of the room and it went down again.
I know. So Rosenstein turns over minimally redacted memos, but he doesn't release anything. You know, now I know when is the attorney general going to step in and say, release the information as it relates to FISA abuses, release the information as it relates to the investigation in the Clinton email server, release the information that we've got on Bruce and Nelly Orr, on Rod Rosenstein's conflicts, release what we know about Mueller and FISA abuse and everything in between. And what most people are now recognizing, are you going to stand here the whole show?
You
know, it's what? Fine.
You don't like this?
Annoying when you're standing over my shoulder.
Oh.
Are you done? Thank you. All right.
I was claiming my time.
At least it's fixed.
My time.
At least it's fixed. Thank you. You know, the media can't seem to make up their mind about what Robert Mueller was looking for when he ordered the raid of Michael Cohen's office and apartment the other day in his hotel room. You know, first, remember, it was supposed to be about the payoff that was made to Stormy Daniel in that particular case. Then it was, the National Enquirer paid Karen McDougal, you know, I guess what they buy and kill, whatever they call that whole strategy that's used. In other words, they paid for the story. By the way, I thought contract law was legal in America. In other words, let's say I want to make a deal with somebody. Okay, here's X dollars. You give me this in exchange, or you don't say this in exchange, or you say this in, you know, well, you can't lie if it's before a court. But let's assume that it's just you decide to pay somebody to keep embarrassing information you don't want out in the public, out of the public, and you're paying for it. Okay, how is that illegal? Can somebody explain that to me? It's nobody's forcing anybody to take the money. Nobody's forcing anybody to sign the contract. Nobody's made an allegation that you're being forced to do it. But in exchange for your silence, you get X number of dollars. That's called a contract. I thought we had contract law in America. I know the great one, Mark Levin, had this guy on who was the former FEC chairman. He says this is not an in-kind donation issue as it relates to Michael Cohen. And he's exactly right. It's not an in-kind donation issue at all. But if you see now, if you go from Stormy and then you go to Karen McDougal and then you go to the Access Hollywood tape, I mean, is there nothing that they're not going to follow here? And if somebody can somehow tie this back into Russia for me, I'd really appreciate it, because there doesn't seem to be any Russia connection here. Here's the story about Mark Levin. And the interview that he did, he interviewed the former, FEC chairman, who explained why a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels can't be considered an in-kind contribution to the Trump campaign and thus violating campaign finance laws. And the professor's name is Bradley Smith, used to be the head of the FEC. He said when the FEC wrote the regulation that says what constitutes campaign expenditures and what constitutes personal use, it rejected specifically the idea that a campaign expenditure was anything related to a campaign. And instead, it says it has to be something that exists only because of the campaign and solely for that reason. Well, it can't be solely for that reason when this is the personal attorney who represents the business interests of a then candidate, Donald Trump, because I'm sure for those purposes, too, probably the deal would have been made on that point. You know, it seems to me that one thing, my friend David Schoen pointed this out in an email to me today, that maybe the president can think about is, you know, when people enter into these confidential agreements, these settlement agreements, you know, here's another thing. You know, you keep hearing about all these settlements that are made, all these, quote, non-disclosure agreements that are made, and then everybody wants more money later. Well, at that point, aren't they violating the terms of the deal? Shouldn't they have to give the money back at least? Listen, these are simple questions, or is that just totally and completely and utterly meaningless? Anyway, if it, you know, conventional wisdom is that, you know, the government is trying to make here that payments and non-disclosure demands in connection with the payments are in-kind donations. Now, I think the line of defense was laid out pretty good by this attorney that Mark interviewed last night. And maybe it's not ideal if it means revealing, you know, whatever information you want to reveal here. But the question, though, is whether Mr. Cohn, you know, did he do it to help the Trump organization? How would you even know? Or what if he did it? You know, my impression of this is simple. My impression of it is because I knew the relationship with Michael Cohn, who was on this program. He was never part of the campaign, never part of the transition, never part of the president's cabinet, or never part of the presidential anything to do with Donald Trump once he got in office. But I do know that Michael was extraordinarily loyal to the president, to Donald Trump, the person. And what I guess is over the years, 15 years, that probably there's been a whole lot of, quote, sticky situations that arise for people in business. And my guess is that Michael's job, I know the media like to refer to him as a fixer. My guess is, and I believe this with all my heart, he probably jumped on the grenade because he saw a problem that needed to be fixed for his boss in the context that this is my client. I'll make this go away for him. And that makes perfect sense. Now, you might say $130,000 and you don't ask your boss if you can spend that money. Well, he says he spent his own money because it was in the middle of the campaign. He just said, forget it. I'll just take care of it and formed an LLC. I don't know what the whole financial arrangement thing is of it. But it is a pretty amazing time that we're living in as it relates to all of this. I will tell you that. And I really just can't believe this is now where the country is. This is where our focus is at this particular time. You know, all these stories now, the media is now back in love with James Comey. By the way, Joy Behar comparing Trump to Kim Jong-un. I mean, this is where we've now sunk to in the country.
You know what's funny is I kind of remember the good old days when he was friends with dictators, because now that he's threatening them, I don't know which one's scarier.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah. World now where we have to rely on the sanity of Kim Jong-un and Putin over the president of the United States. That's where we're at. We're hoping because here's one of the Russian prime minister, one of the guys over there said, we do not do
one of the guys
tweet.
Over there.
You think Kim Jong-un is less moral than Trump? Do you?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I think Putin, the aiding and abetting of Assad right now.
On what topic?
Chemical gassing of children. Last time I checked, America isn't doing that to anyone.
Well, human.
But I think the moral
The show is unwatchable and unlistenable. And Meghan McCain made a great point. She deserved the applause that she got there. And what was up with Whoopi Goldberg suggesting, about riots. Listen to this.
Pontificating about something that hasn't happened, that's going on a lot of unnamed sources. So I don't think that we should get too far ahead of our skis. I do think everything you're saying about what would happen if he does fire Mueller, I've said, Lindsey Graham has said it's political suicide.
Yeah.
I 100% think there would be, I think there would actually be rioting in Washington, D.C. I think it would be at levels
be
we haven't seen.
I have to say.
Play that again, because I didn't fully hear it. Play it again, the end.
Pontificating about something that hasn't happened, that's going on a lot of unnamed sources. So I don't think that we should get too far ahead of our skis. I do think everything you're saying about what would happen if he does fire Mueller, I've said, Lindsey Graham has said it's political suicide.
Yeah.
I 100% think there would be, I think there would actually be rioting in Washington, D.C. I think it would be at
that
levels
be
we haven't
watch,
seen.
I have to say.
There you hear it at the end. That would be fun to watch, rioting. I'm like, wow. I guess you can say anything if you're on the left wing side of the political spectrum. You can pretty much, it's free reign to just say anything that you want here. That's pretty outrageous. Steve Bannon has a plan to derail the Mueller witch hunt. Apparently, he's wants to put out a battle plan. Washington Post reporting that his proposal is that to protect the president, as this now goes further and further into the weeds, the multi-pronged approach would be to fire Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Well, I think actually Congress should do that. And Joe DeGeneva said as much last night. I think that's Congress's role for being conflicted, number one, instructing the White House to stop cooperating. Well, yeah, that's obvious. We're not going to cooperate with the special Mueller, with the special counsel anymore, Robert Mueller. Look at the duplicitous way he was negotiating with the president's legal team. Nobody's noticed, by the way, that Russia totally blinked on this whole Syria thing, just like the Chinese blinked, just like apparently Kim Jong-un blinked. Well, the president will never get credit for any of the good things that he's doing. All right, let's go to our phones. Bill is in Houston, Texas. Bill, how are you? You're on the Sean Hannity Show. What's going on, sir?
Doing great, Sean. It's good to hear you.
Yes, sir. Welcome aboard.
I'm calling about the warrant that was obtained to searched the offices and home of our president's private attorney. All the pundits are talking about how the standard for such a warrant is so very high. And yet, wasn't the standard very high to obtain a FISA warrant? And yet that stuff was trash.
It's higher.
What kind of evidence did they really have?
We know what the evidence was. We remember
who was the judge that granted it?
We know the answers to these questions in this sense. We know that the bulk of information, remember the FISA warrant, the original warrant that they tried back in July, it didn't pass muster. They were denied, which rarely happens, to be honest. That's kind of rare. And then the bulk of the application, as it relates to Carter Page, Trump campaign associate, became the dossier, the unverified, uncorroborated, frankly, lying dossier that Hillary paid for. And to quote Andrew McCabe, if there's no dossier, there wouldn't have even been another FISA application. So that's where it came from. It just built on lies. All right, Bill, thank you. Mark, Pittsburgh, how are you? What's going on, Mark?
No, because I was told to be. Hillary ran money for the dossier through a legal firm, ostensibly to gain client attorney privilege. Correct?
Hillary, you mean Perkins Coie?
Yes.
Okay.
He ran the money through Perkins Coie.
Well, they also did it for another reason, because they wanted to have it down as a legal expense, not a dig-up-dirt expense.
But it's also attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, probably that would be true. You're right. I haven't even thought about that. That's a good point.
And so you have the same thing with Trump, correct? Yet they raid his attorney's office.
Listen, I'll believe that there's equal justice under the law when they finally raid Hillary's attorney's home and office and hotel room. I'll believe it then.
I'm 60 years old. That'll never happen in my lifetime.
No, it's not. And my point, remember, I've been now saying for over a year, this is about the Constitution, the rule of law, equal application of the laws, equal justice under the law. And you have felonies we know committed, and we don't hear anything about it. But for shows like this, it's really sad. And it's all part of a concerted effort. The media hates Trump. The five forces I always talk about, the deep state, the media, Democrats, weak Republicans, never Trumpers. Nothing that this president does will be good enough for them, and they just want him out of office to say that they were right. Tom in Milwaukee, we'll give you the last minute of this hour. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Greg Jarrett posed the question on the Sean Hannity show several shows ago. He said, well, you know, I'm so flustered with this that Jeff Sessions is just sitting like a bump on the log. I have to ask the question, is he in on it? You know, he starts his attorney general appointment with deceit. He knew he was going to recuse himself from the Russia probe, and he went ahead and did it anyway for selfish reasons. The result of that is to leave the president twisting in the wind with a Russian probe that gives Rosenstein no boundaries at all to instruct Mueller on. In November, with the Judiciary Committee, he's very disrespectful to Jim Jordan.
Yep.
And he staunchly defends Rosenstein. He blocks the second special counsel, which has multiple indications for crime. There's no document release, and he just sits there and does absolutely nothing. So, and if you fire Rosenstein, the shocker of the lifetime, first of all, he can't be fired by the Congress because the Senate's, you got two no votes with the two swamp snapping turtle senators from Arizona that are never going to vote for that because they hate Trump so much. The shocker of your lifetime is going to be if you fire Rosenstein, Sessions is still going to do nothing.
Sessions needs to walk into Rod Rosenstein's office and start demanding answers immediately. And Rosenstein should have been recused a long time ago. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. All right, there is one civil libertarian in the United States Senate. His name is Rand Paul. We'll check in with him. We'll get his take on the raid of Michael Cohen and what he thinks about the special counsel and what he thinks about the slow walking by the Department of Justice and the FBI as it comes to real abuse of power. That's coming up. Busy day. Herschel Walker also checks in straight ahead. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number.
Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are enemies of President Trump. They were spending time at work trying to figure out how to keep him from being president, and if he were president, trying to have some sort of insurance policy to, I guess, prevent him from acting as president.
There you're hearing from Rand Paul as it relates to Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and yeah, they're still actually working, and they have access to confidential information, which is unbelievable to me. And Rand Paul, I got a note from Sergio yesterday, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Sergio works for Rand, and it literally pointed out that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, two Trump-hating lovebirds that were engaged in the insurance policy, we believe with Andrew McCabe, we believe just in case Donald Trump won, deep state actors, that they still have access to all this classified information. How is that possible, Senator, and how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I asked the FBI director. I sent a letter to him about 3 months ago, and I said, can Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, do they still have top security clearance? Can they access Americans' data? Could they type in Trump supporters' names into the computer and find out information about them? Could they even type the president's name in? Could they type in National Security Advisor? Could they type in your name, my name? And the answer came back. They wouldn't tell us specifically about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, but they said all agents have to have top secret clearance, which means if they're still agents, they have not been restricted in any way. And that's very worrisome to me because I think these people showed such hatred and such sort of inappropriate work type discussion about bringing down a sitting president that they have no place in the FBI. And if they're there and they're still able to search a database, it should scare every American.
Well, this is the whole point. And you were one of the few people that I thought in Congress, shockingly, that really understands how deep and profound this is, that the FBI would raid in the early morning hours the home and the office and the hotel room of the president's personal attorney. And I know they're supposed to have, you know, a taint squad that will filter through all the information and not use anything that they shouldn't use. To me, I don't have confidence in anybody at this particular point in time, especially after all that we've learned in the last year about how deep state actors have been acting.
The other point is if you can read through, if the FBI can read through all of the private communications, how can they unknow that knowledge? Once they know that knowledge, what if they go to lunch and they say, you know what? you can't use this evidence, but I'll bet you if you look in so-and-so bank, you'll find that somebody may have abused the tax code system. And or if you look in this and this place, by reading confidential information, there's all kinds of things you could go look for and have separate means of taking them to court. This is called parallel construction. You get your information illegally, but then you work the case up legitimately, and then you never tell the court that your initial tip was from illegal information that was gathered. But I think Alan Dershowitz, the professor, has been really great on this, indicating that you really have a Fourth Amendment right to privacy in your records and also a Sixth Amendment right to have privacy with your communications to your attorney. And those, I think, are breached by them going into Cohen's office like they did. And I think it really shows how powerful your government is. If they can do this to a sitting president, imagine what they can do to just some average American who they say, we've decided that we're going after Trump supporters, or the IRS decides we're going to go after the tax returns of people who contribute to Republicans. That's why what I've always argued for is, even if everyone were a saint, even if everyone were good that worked in the agency, I would say you should have to ask a judge for a warrant. So an independent person says, why do you want this information? And why does it look like you're only searching Republicans' records?
Oh, it seems that way. Now, here's the situation we now find ourselves in. There's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, but we do know certain things have occurred. And if we're going to have equal justice under the law, equal applications under the law, I think my audience and everybody in the country that's been following the evidence that I have been presenting on a regular basis for over a year, we do know that Hillary fixed the primary. Nobody seems to care about the primary fixing with Bernie. Put that aside. We do know that Hillary deleted 33,000 subpoenaed emails. We do know that she acid washed and bleach bit her hard drive and beat up her devices with hammers or had people do it for her. We do know that Comey struck, in particular, while writing an exoneration of Hillary Clinton in early May, and they never interviewed her or 17 other witnesses until July, and 2 days later they exonerated her. And I've never heard of an exoneration before the investigation, but it was being written. And then we have the tarmac issue with Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. And then we have Andrew McCabe struck Page, and their commentary back and forth about how much they hate Donald Trump, and yet Strzok is in place in all of these investigations. And then you add the dossier, which is Russian paid for lies to influence the general election. And then you have a FISA court lied to because they never told the FISA court judge the truth about where the information came from, nor did they verify it as FISA law mandates.
I think you'll know that there's equal justice in this country the day that the government raids Hillary Clinton's lawyer's office. So when that happens, then I'll stand up and say I'll believe they're really treating both sides equally. But no, they treated Hillary Clinton with kid gloves. They exonerated her and wrote the exoneration before they even interviewed her. They allowed many of their people to be interviewed together to hear each other's testimony, so it was consistent, things that you never do. So basically, Hillary Clinton was given a pass, and now every power of the government is coming after the president on these things. So, no, I don't think we have equal justice. And I've said for a long, long time, before President Trump even thought about running for president, I've said that all of our intelligence agencies should have a check and balance. They should all have to ask a judge for a warrant. And here's the interesting thing. If you talk to your local FBI agent or your local policeman, 99.9% of them, in fact, almost all of them know you have to follow the Fourth Amendment, and they do it. They diligently do it. You won't meet a local FBI agent, and you will not meet a local policeman that doesn't know they have to call a judge before coming into someone's house or getting into their records. And yet, when you get to headquarters up here, you've got all these people that have a political agenda. And so when you have Peter Strzok and Lisa Page with that much power, I cannot believe they haven't been fired yet. And so really, until that happens or until it all becomes public why they're not being fired, I would think that they would be suspended at the very least and wouldn't be able to search our records. Because as we speak, both of them have full ability to search all Americans' records in these databases.
Yeah. So I guess, when you say something, and this is really important, everything that we're learning, though, is that we don't have equal justice under the law. Do you believe that this effort with the special prosecutor and the way things have gone down here, do you think this is an effort to overturn a duly elected president?
I think that John Brennan, James Clapper, Comey likely, you remember all the rumors right towards the end, and they were saying this right after the election, they were saying to ensure that the information got distributed, basically they broke a lot of their own rules and laws, and they distributed stuff and sprinkled it throughout. But basically, that was a conspiracy. People say, oh, they were doing it because they were being patriotic. No, it was a conspiracy because they lost the election. And if you don't believe that John Brennan and James Clapper are partisan hacks, just look at their interviews. You got James Clapper out there spouting off about climate change now. You got John Brennan calling the president despicable and all these other horrible names. And these are the people that had the power to search every American's record and had so much power that they could take you down in a heartbeat. And people should never forget what Chuck Schumer said. He said the president has to be careful or should be careful because the intelligence agencies can screw you six ways to Sunday.
Six ways to Sunday. You know, we've had on this program Bill Binney, and 34-year professional at the NSA. He swears that every text, every email, every phone call is metadata stored in places like Salt Lake City. Is that true?
They were, and I thought they were supposed to stop with the reform from about a year ago. But yes, up until about a year ago, they were. And I think there was some provision for allowing some of that stuff to stay. But it's not just metadata. If you've ever talked to anyone overseas, think about all the journalists at Fox News that call their journalists that are working in the Middle East all the time, or you email them. Those emails are monitored because they're part of this enormous foreign database, and a lot of journalists are caught up in that. Should the government or American government, who might not like Fox News, should they be allowed to search your journalists' records? Right now they can without a warrant. So we had this big fight in Congress. I led the fight over here, Justin Amash and Thomas Massey on the other side, to say that you should have to get a judge's warrant to search the database. It wasn't that we were opposed to searching the database. There may well be bad Americans that could be dealing with a foreign terrorist, but ask a judge. The judges almost never say no. But if you have to ask a judge, guess what? You're not going to be able to search Republicans or Trump donors because someone would catch you. You don't have to ask a judge and you can sit at your desk and search people. The possibility for abuse is amazing.
It's endless. Do you think that when they didn't tell the FISA court judges in their initial application, the three subsequent applications, that in fact Hillary had paid for this dossier, that it was not verified, not corroborated, that it was a foreign national who did the investigation with Russian sources, even Russian government sources, when they made that application to the FISA court and the subsequent renewals, did they lie to that court?
It's absolutely dishonest, disingenuous, shouldn't happen. And when you're going to have a public investigation or even a private investigation of a presidential candidate for office, the bar, I think, has to be incredibly high. And then to publicly comment on it, this was James Comey's problem. James Comey thinks in his own head that he's some kind of hero. He is the biggest, you know, he politicized and has destroyed the reputation of the FBI more than any person ever to lead the FBI. I truly believe that. And for two reasons, not only because he went after Trump, but he also went after Clinton in a public way. All of that investigation should have been done if it was done very, very quietly, and the bar for doing it is significantly high, but he should have never been giving press conferences.
Why won't they hand over the 1.2 million documents that have been subpoenaed by Congress?
I heard some Democrat on the news this morning saying, oh, because they don't like to. So, and the executive branch has always resisted. But see, this is what oversight's about. It's what checks and balances are about. Our founders wanted the legislature to be co-equal with the executive branch. But ever since FDR and the Great Depression, the executive branch has grown enormously. And the legislative branch is a bunch of weaklings that don't want their power anymore. So the legislative branch rarely actually exerts themselves over the executive branch on war or issues of regulation. So almost all the regulations that businesses suffer from are not from Congress. They're actually written by the executive branch, and we could stop it in a heartbeat, but you'd have to have stronger people in Congress who would say, no more, we're not going to let it happen.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you, what do you think the president should do as it relates to this ongoing investigation? I think Rod Rosenstein has been conflicted from day one. I do believe it's a witch hunt. I now believe it's a fishing expedition. We are way beyond any mandate that relates to so-called Trump-Russia collusion or anything involving the election at all. They have now backdoored their way into all of the president's personal records from when he was a citizen. And now they're talking about Stormy Daniels, the Access Hollywood tape, and some woman named Karen McDougal. What does any of this have to do with Russia?
Nothing to do with Russia. And that's why I've really decided, after thinking about this for a long time, I'm just sort of against the special prosecutors. I'm not for one on McCabe and Strzok and all that, too, because I think it just they run so far afield and nobody's really been indicted over Russian collusion. It's all over extraneous stuff. And I think if the full power of the government came on any individual and they looked at all your taxes for the last 20 years, can they find something where you didn't dot an I properly or cross a T, you know, properly? So, yes, I think that if you tried to go after with the full bully power of government, you can catch almost anybody. What should the president do? The one thing he hasn't done that I think he could do, and that's to start to declassify things where the intelligence community has abused their power. So the Obama people, Brennan, Clapper, you know, Clapper came to the Senate and lied, and it's a felony, and nobody did anything about it. Now he's all over TV acting like he's some kind of angel criticizing the president, and yet James Clapper
and the president can declassify all of that. All right, well, we've got to let you go. Thank you for being one of the few people in Congress actually believing in civil liberties, I guess, at this point. It's pretty scary that you stand there alone too often. Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. All right, we just heard from Senator Rand Paul. Let me take you back here. This is Senator Grassley of Iowa accusing the FBI of playing this hide-the-ball game on the Russia probe for a long, long time. We'll get to that next. I want you to just hear this specifically.
I believe in transparency. We may agree that certain information should be released at the appropriate time with care to preserve classified information and the integrity of any investigation. I have already been pushing the department to review the classified referral memorandum to confirm the mammal's classification markings so that we can release the unclassified portions as soon as possible. But now the department has deferred to the FBI, and the FBI is falsely claiming that three of our unclassified paragraphs each contain the same or single classified fact. Now, that really surprised me, because these particular paragraphs are based on non-government sources and do not claim to repeat or confirm any information from any government document. Even if these portions of our referral did reference the allegedly classified fact at issue, it is hard to understand why that fact should be classified. First, the Deputy Attorney General has discussed the fact at issue with me more than once in an unsecured space and on an unsecured phone line. That ought to tell you something.
All right, when we come back, my buddy, Major Dan Rooney, who is a fighter pilot, PGA professional, he's here to help Folds of Honor. They got $2 million today from Budweiser. That's coming up next. A lot of your calls coming up straight ahead. The great Herschel Walker is going to join us later in the program as well as we continue.
Donations keep this thing going. All the money goes to causes like this. And corporations have stepped up, too. Budweiser gave you $1.9 million.
Budweiser, this is a beautiful story. You know, I went up and I cold called Budweiser in St. Louis 7 years ago, and they joined the Folds of Honor mission, have donated north of $15 million since we started, which is 3,000 scholarships. And to your point, the need is great. We'll have a record year, put out nearly $20 million in scholarships this year, but there'll be between 7 and 8 million in unfunded qualified requests. And that's why Fox and Friends, this nation, has been so powerful to pick up the phone, to go to foldsofhonor.org and make a donation. Literally, that
changing
money
lives
will be deployed to send Sean and CJ to school next year and another 391 families.
There are people watching right now who would like to help. They can go to
foldsofhonor.org. Freedom and free. Less than 0.5% of this country suit up every day to defend our freedoms.
All right, that was from Fox and Friends this morning. The announcement, $1.9 million given to Folds of Honor. This is an amazing charity. Major Dan Rooney heads this up. Fighter pilot, also a PGA professional, and a patriot and philanthropist, author of the book A Patriot's Calling, Living Life Between Fear and Faith, and he's in studio. How are you, my friend? Good to see you.
Blessed to be here.
Hey, don't bother reaching over. Yeah. I'll reach all the way over to get there. Budweiser gave you guys $1.9 million. Amazing amount of money. And Folds of Honor is such a good charity. Tell us what you do with it.
We provide scholarships for spouses and children who've had somebody killed or disabled, defending our freedoms. And as you heard in that clip, well, you know, we started above our garage 10 years ago, my wife and I. And I think in life for all of us, I mean, we're busy. Everybody's at this frenetic pace. And in your mind, there are 1,000 reasons why it'll never work. But that's when you talk about faith, and that's when God puts stuff in your heart.
Yeah.
And I thank God every day that we started. And we started from vapor. I mean, you're looking at me. I am not smart. I had no money, no platform. But we started above our garage, and we'll award our 20,000th scholarship this year. We put over $100 million out the door to these spouses and children. And just so blessed. And as a father of five, you know, I continue to fly fighter jets. And, you know, the worst nightmare is if something happens to you as a military person. Take care of your family.
It's the biggest fear. We forget that military families, they pay a price. They sacrifice for the country as well, because literally every night when they put their head down on that pillow, they're like thinking, oh, my loved one is in an area of the world that's not safe. You don't know what they're doing. There's a lot of anxiety associated with it. Long periods where you're away from your family. I just love a lot of these military charities, and there's been so many that we've been able to support on the program. The Freedom Alliance, Building Homes for Heroes, Rivers of Recovery for these guys that have been suffering with PTSD, and every one of them helps. And in your case, you're helping a lot of families every single day. And how do you get to do that and be a professional golfer? You're on tour.
No, so I'm a PGA club professional now, so I'm not on tour.
So what could you do for my golf game? Because yeah. I'm not the greatest. I'm never going to be a good golfer because I don't have enough time to be a good golfer.
Yeah, you never know, right? You don't have enough time because you're out serving others.
I've shot in the 70s maybe 3 times in my life, like 79.
You're dedicating yourself to a cause bigger than yourself, and that is serving up God and country and traditional core American values.
Okay, but
American
I still want to be able to make a 40-foot putt. I can't putt. My putting is atrocious.
I'll give you a putting lesson this summer. We'll come up and we'll work on your putting.
I know, but you're supposed to do it like a pendulum. Do it like, I get the same lesson, and I'm like, ugh.
You know what all great putters have in common?
What?
When they look at the hole, they look back, and they putt immediately. Most amateurs look at the hole, and then they sit over where they get target decay. They sit there, and they do nothing, and they wait a couple seconds, and then they putt. All great putters look at the hole, look back, and go.
But this is how Tiger does it. I watch Tiger. He puts his hands like this, and he's literally looking down the line, and he's got a space 3 or 4 feet in front of him, and he's going to hit that. He knows the pacing because he spent, you know, 4,000 million hours of his life putting on a putting green, but... it's amazing. All right. So more importantly, and you're still with the Guard, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. U.S. Air Force Reserve stationed at Tyndall Air Force Base in Panama City. I was going supersonic 2 days ago.
Unbelievable. When supersonic, what does that feel like?
It feels awesome. It is the greatest feeling on earth.
You're an adrenaline junkie. What were you flying?
So I fly I was an F-16 guy. Now we fly T-38s down there. We're an aggressor squadron. So we're dedicated Red Air. So it's like Viper and Top Gun.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So I'm like an expert on China and Russia and all these bad places. And we make the guys going down range better.
And as a fighter pilot, how long did it take you to get, how old were you when you were trained, and how long did it take you to become so proficient at it?
So I was 27, and it's an amazing scholarship. It takes about 2.5 years. Government spends, I don't know, between $6 and $8 million per pilot training us to fly the F-16.
Wow.
So quite a scholarship, and I've been doing it 19 years.
Is Top Gun reflective of what really happens?
No, but...
you don't get to date the instructor?
No, we don't play volleyball with our shirts off. but it's an awesome scholarship, and I'm still not any good at flying jets. I've been doing it, man.
Oh, stop
18
it.
Years
stop
and I'm
it.
Still not any good.
You fly at F-16 Mach what?
They go at Mach 2.5.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you ever take people up? Do they throw up? Do you make them throw
Most
up?
People throw up. Yes.
Why
I've taken a lot of people up.
Why do they throw up?
Just because it's a very violent experience. I mean, we pull 9 Gs. It's like 2,000 pounds of kinetic energy, you know, crushing down on your body. And
can you teach somebody not to throw up?
It's like anything. It's just time. You get your sea legs. So most pilots, when we start out our training, we all get sick, too. And
you
just
do.
They keep sending you up, and finally you get over it.
And how many so what do you throw up in the bag, the oxygen bag?
Yeah, you throw up in the bag, and you get right back at it. And, so
do you have an alternative bag? You can switch it in mid-flight?
No.
So you're choking on your own puke there.
Pretty much.
That's horrible. Well, listen, Major Dan Rooney, we love having you back. Folds of Honor, if people want to help, how can they do it?
Yeah, foldsofhonor.org. Freedom is not free. We've got about 1.5 million dependents now that have had somebody killed or disabled defending our freedoms.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to, I think, genuinely say thank you to our military as make sure that we don't leave any family behind.
Good for you. Sir, great to see you. It's an honor to have you.
God bless you.
You're not going to reach, but you're not even going to. What's up
God
with that?
Bless you.
God bless you, too.
And your golf game.
Yeah, and my martial arts probably more.
We'll start working on that this summer.
All right, Major,
thanks
thank
for being
you.
A great American.
You're a great American. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. All right, to our phones we go. We've got Jeannie is in Clearwater in Florida listening on WFLA. What's up, Jeannie? How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. It's great to talk to you, and I thank you for all that you do for the American people.
Well, thank you.
Because we truly need a voice out there because we are trying to be silenced. And I would just like to say, according to this situation with Mueller, with going after Cohen, this is beyond a disgrace for the American people and the country, not just the president. And Jeff Sessions, it is time for you to man up and grow some balls. Because when I see a snake out in my yard, which we have regular snakes and we have poisonous, you have to cut off the head of the snake, not the tail. Now, Rosenstein is the head. Mueller is the tail.
Look.
Rosenstein needs to go, and he needs to
everybody,
go now.
Everybody knows that.
But Sessions has to get the balls to fire him. That is not Trump's job. He needs to take the heat over this because he is the reason we are in the situation we are in.
Right. Right.
And American people can see this. And we are fed up with seeing the double standard that goes on day in, day out. You are putting it out there. But we already know this. We see this. And we want action. And we want action now. We are fed up with all this dragging of the feet, and with this, the FBI, it's taken them so long. If there was any real proof or evidence, it would have come out months ago. But they are looking under every rock, every stone, every piece of dirt to try and find something because there is nothing, because they are covering up for themselves all the terrible things that they have done to this country. Not just this president, but to this country. And if you're an American citizen, you should be outraged at this point at what has gone on by the DOJ and the FBI. And they need to clean house right from the get-go. Sessions can't go because Rosenstein will be in his place. And God knows what will happen.
Listen, you're dead on. Politically, they've created a situation that is untenable for the president. Rod Rosenstein, and that's why I like the idea that people like Meadows and Jordan and everybody else are now saying, well, if they don't turn over the documents that gives us all the information on FISA abuse, all the information on the past, the rigged investigation into Hillary, all the investigation into all of these corruption issues that we have been following that we know have happened, then at some point, they're just going to have to do what they do, and that is, yeah, they're going to have to hold them in contempt, and yeah, they can impeach some of them. And that, I think, is where we're headed. And Rod Rosenstein is the one guy that doesn't want anything out at all, period, as we have now witnessed again and again and again. All right, let's get to our busy telephones here. 800-941-SHAWN is the number. Michelle in North Carolina next on the Sean Hannity Show. Michelle, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, thank you, Sean. It's always an honor to talk to you. I agree completely with the caller that was just on, but I wanted to say thank you so much because what you're doing is you're educating the United States citizens, and that's what we need. I feel like what has happened is we have allowed Commie Corps to completely change the mindset of everybody under 35, and they really believe that we live in a country that was founded by sexists and racists and a bunch of white men that came over here, and their only desire was to, you know, murder Native Americans just to take their land. And they don't believe anymore that there are consequences to actions. Everybody is a victim, and everybody, because they're just simply breathing in the United States of America, deserves everything for free. And I'm sorry, but you look at all of these politicians, and they're getting away with it. We're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're supposed to have freedom and justice for everybody. Right now, we have freedom for some and justice for none, because the criminals are not being brought
you know, they're not being brought to their knees. And the people that are law abiding and love this country and are working hard, they're the ones who are paying the price for everybody else. And it makes absolutely no sense. It makes no common sense. And unless we uphold the Constitution of the United States and we start holding people's feet to a fire, we will no longer be a constitutional republic. And let me just say, that was the goal. It is the goal of the liberal movement. People say that Hillary Clinton did not run on any platform. She absolutely did. She ran on the platform that she wanted open borders, and she wanted abortion for the whole world and the United States to pay for it. She ran on the platform that, yeah, the Constitution is kind of outdated, kind of like Ruth Ginsburg said in 2012. Egypt, don't look at our Constitution when you're looking for a new government for yourselves, because it doesn't last right now. It's not really hip with the 2000s. Look at somebody else. And that's what's happening. The people that are now in their 30s and their 20s that have grown up under this education system that has lied about history, that has rewritten history, that has told them that they do not have to be responsible for anything, that the wealthy white person is their enemy. They've been lied to. And thank you for telling everyone it's a lie. It's just simply a lie.
James Comey is getting horrible advice. He is interfering in this election. I don't understand what the guy's doing, but just from pure political point of view, it is a nightmare for the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign. I know why they're upset. They should be.
I think what Jim Comey did was to throw overboard Justice Department procedures because of political reasons, his own internal politics, because of the hatred for Hillary Clinton within the FBI.
This is just the worst possible situation for the FBI, for the country, for Hillary Clinton, certainly.
Why throw that stink bomb in the middle of this, you know, at the very end of the campaign? I think that's a real big problem.
It does seem like we have a problem with the FBI director.
Comey has said high-profile investigations make him feel pressure to do things quickly and do it well. Tonight, his critics are wondering if he has failed on both counts.
Howard Dean, former Democratic candidate for president, says, quote, he may have destroyed the credibility of the FBI forever, put himself on the same side as Putin.
I think that was a horrendous decision on his part and one that he should and probably does regret.
It's clear that his disclosure and the spate of now competing, one might even say warring, FBI leaks that have followed have raised serious questions about the FBI's integrity and impartiality.
The FBI director of the United States is allowing himself to be interjected into this political campaign. Unprecedented.
It sets a precedent. It's a bad precedent. We have never seen this before.
Now, do you think Comey has put the finger on the scale for Donald Trump?
It just makes the FBI look like a wing of the Republican Party.
I don't understand what Comey's doing. That's my main thought about all this.
And there's your liberal media for you. I got to tell you, I'm listening to all of our callers and everybody writing me and looking at social media. The number one, I'm very impressed with how informed everybody is. And number two, this passion is going to be needed because this is a true, real, clear, present danger to the election of 2016. They want to undo the election of we the people, and they think they know better than us. And all of that is true. And the double standards, you know, should disgust anybody that is open-minded in any way. I appreciate the call, Michelle. Great call. 800-941-SEAN. All right, news roundup and information overload hour. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program. You know, one of the things that a lot of people are talking about is, you know, in the age of Trump and Obama even, there's a lot of divisiveness in the country. You know, so I talked the other day. I said, you know, we're getting to the point we're so dividing this country, we're going to have a civil war. And I defined it. I said, you're going to be sitting at the table with your family and your friends, and you're going to start having mashed potato fights. But on a serious side, it is kind of real. And a lot of people take politics really personally. There are some people that would never, ever, ever want to talk to me because of my political points of view. Now, in a second, I'm going to introduce you to a good friend of the program, Sally Cohn. She's got a brand new book out. It's called The Opposite of Hate, A Field Guide to Repairing Our Humanity. She actually mentions me a lot in the book. Not always flattering. Flattering. But here's some of the vitriol that I'm talking about.
It is a weird tension. I think it's a dangerous time for the First Amendment and for the free press in this country. And at the same time, we're oddly influential with the guy who wants to kill us.
And to our detractors,
that insist that this march will never add up to anything, f*** you. You. But this is the hallmark of revolution. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You know, I had a dream the other night about that I was playing golf with Donald Trump, and I was standing beside him with a club in my hand, and I was, you know, considering my options when I suddenly woke up. You know, it was one of those dreams where you want to just get back to sleep so you can finish it, you know?
I'll put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box. And now there's the momentum to be able to do this.
This is a death panel bill because people will die. This is deadly. This is deadly.
You can't stand him.
I am.
He's the most horrible man I've ever seen in my life. Your president is a dishonorable, lying man.
Which enemy are you most proud of?
Probably the Republicans.
All right, Sally Cohn joins us. That's pretty intense stuff. The opposite of hate, a field guide on repairing our humanity. How are
Hi,
you?
Sean.
You
look I'm great. Good. You look great, too. You've been working out.
I've been working out a lot.
I can tell.
Five days a week.
It actually shows 5 days a week. It's the mixed martial arts thing.
That's correct.
See, and people wonder, what the hell do you talk about Sean Hannity with about, except for politics? I was like, well, we can cover mixed martial arts. We can cover our kids.
Well,
we can cover tennis.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we have had a personal relationship that goes back a number of years now. We've always gotten along. Your political views drive me insane.
Same. Yours drive me insane, not mine. No, mine, I rather like mine.
We've had some verbal knockdown, drag out, but it was never personal.
Well, it shouldn't be.
And I agree.
Yeah.
And actually, at different points, I remember you did one of those 5-minute or 10-minute, what do you call, tours with that big tour thing where you speak out and they are.
Oh, a TED Talk. You're talking about
that thing. Yeah. I've never
this is one of those cultural divides. So, I can get you invited, but moving on. It's one of those cultural divides. We on the left.
By the way, don't we charge for those? They're called speeches. No, I get paid to do those.
I would pay to see you do a TED Talk because I already watched Sally's. We'll have you do one together.
It's the left. It's the left. We don't pay for anything. The left loves its TED Talks. Go on.
So all these years we disagree. I'm watching your TED Talk, and we developed a friendship, and I would throw little ideas because I'm looking at your career and business, and I know you work for the fake news network now, CNN.
No, that was back in 2010 when I worked with you. Sorry,
oh, okay.
Go on.
But you did work, but you've been on TV a lot,
uh-huh.
And the point is, how is it that we get it right personally? I care about your family. I care. You have a 9-year-old now.
Mm-hmm.
I care. I don't care about sexual orientation. We have been friends, and the things like this book shows me how nice you are.
Aww.
Because you don't want to be you don't like fighting.
I can't believe that,
like,
of all
arguing.
People Sean Hannity is saying I'm not. But listen, and I gotta tell you, you know how much I'm gonna take. I still take for being on the show, for being friends with you. It's the number one thing people come up to ask me.
They
pull me aside, they say, No, but is Sean Hannity really nice? Like, I can tell them the truth, right? And the idea of
what do they think?
But like your friends are probably horrified that I'm sitting here right?
No,
not even
a little bit.
Really? Oh,
no.
That's good.
No,
because
so
we have to stop.
Do they think I'm Satan?
I mean, in some lesser, slightly lesser form, like, I don't know, Satan's cousin or something, maybe.
Is it all just politics? They just don't agree with my politics.
Yeah, but also, here's the thing. They don't actually know how much of your politics they agree with and don't, right?
That's a good point.
They actually don't know. Because they know, what we all know, is the sliver of what we end up arguing about on television and in the media, which, by the way, is only a sliver of who we are as people and only a sliver of our politics.
All right, so even though we have dramatically varying political views, we can, I think it's the opposite of hate.
Well, also, I'd rather argue with you and have you listen to me.
I do listen to you.
Whereas if I call you a blankety blank blank blank, you're going to stop listening to me.
No, I'll probably call you a blankety blank back.
Right, exactly. And then what? Like, then,
and nobody wins.
Nobody wins and nobody listens.
Do you don't like confrontation, though? You hate it.
Well, I
have put you in some.
I know
some
you have
situations.
I've
where
gotten better at it. I mean, here's the thing. I like arguing. I don't mind. I love arguing passionately for my values, my identity, my beliefs. I think that's part of what makes us great as a species, part of what makes us great as a country.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy personal animosity. It's true. And also, by the way, I don't think it makes other people feel good. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel bad to be mean to people and to demean and dehumanize people.
See, but I've been in the middle of passionate debates with you, and you're fierce. You're a great advocate for your side.
Thank you, Sean.
Which is why we want you on the air. Listen, there's nothing more boring than putting somebody on with a point of view that, well, from my personal point of view, I think that nobody wants to hear
Sean
that.
Sean Hannity impersonates a liberal, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I was doing Marlon Brando. They always talk about the Corleone family and the Trump crime family. Why not the Clinton crime family?
All right.
Why not the Mueller crime family?
Because she's not president. Could have been one more votes. But going on, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Why don't you like confrontation? Why?
Well, no. Listen, I like debate, discourse, disagreement, right? Like, again, I think that's
right.
I'm an opinionator and a columnist, and I believe it, and I like that. I don't enjoy the politics of personal destruction. I don't. And by the way, and this
does
is the challenge.
Does that exist for President Trump?
Here's the challenge, right? And we have this tendency, right and left, we have this sort of they started it philosophy of hate, right? So, if you did it first, then all hands are loose, whatever, I can do it too. And if that's true, right, eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. So at some point, we have to say, look, I don't like it when the other side does it. We could debate which side does it worse and whatever yours does, but I don't care which side does it worse. I'm responsible for myself. I'm going to hold my own side accountable, and I'm going to call it equally on both sides.
In the day and age of Trump, have you ever seen one president attacked more viciously than him?
Again,
that's a simple question.
Right, but we could talk about how, the attacks on Barack Obama when he tried to build consensus, he was still attacked as being a socialist and a lefty. The attacks on whether he was an American, his Americanness. We could talk about all that. But the point is, however many attacks there were, whatever percentage there was, doesn't make it okay to demean and dehumanize Donald Trump as a person. You can hate what he stands for. You can hate what he does. But you don't attack people. And you definitely don't attack the supporters. You don't attack voters.
Don't you think
that's not
there
fair.
Is an effort now to unseat a duly elected president? That all of this, it's been 15 months, I'll ask you a simple question. Do you have any evidence you can share with my audience of Trump-Russia collusion?
First of all, when Barack Obama was in office, there were, 18 congressional hearings spearheaded by Republicans to investigate Benghazi, each of which were Republican hearings that kept finding no evidence of wrongdoing, and then you just have another and another and another. So, unfortunately, we are at a point as a country where we spend more time trying to attack and undermine the other party than try to actually get the people's work done. I actually don't think Trump is capable of collusion. I don't think he knows enough about what's going on in his own campaign, let alone his own presidency. But do I think members of his campaign might have been involved in?
That's
why we have investigations.
It's been going on for 16 months.
That's why we have investigations.
Did Hillary Clinton?
You still are talking about Hillary's email. She's not even president. So come on.
It doesn't matter if she's president. It's about equal justice. It's about equal justice under the law. For example, if Sean Hannity had 33,000...
I like when you refer to yourself as a
third person. If Sean Hannity had 33,000 emails that were under subpoena and I deleted them, and then I acid washed my hard drive with bleach bit, and then I took a hammer and I busted him up...
I know.
...with a hammer, my devices, is that a crime? Is that obstruction of justice?
So here's
lawyer.
Right. No. So that is true. So here... although I am retired from the bar, so I want to stipulate that this does not constitute legal advice. But listen,
is that obstruction of justice?
Is if someone on my side did it, I would say it's wrong. And by the way, I did. And we had the conversations about the emails. And so the same thing, right? When there's traces of money, when there's evidence of policy change, my point
is... That's a crime, too.
I'm talking now about Trump as well, right? You were upset about the donations the Clinton Foundation took. Let's look about the money that Manafort took. My point is, let's apply the same standards
I'm
to everyone.
For, but Manafort didn't, you know, what he was charged with goes back to 2005.
He was his campaign chairman. And if he'd been Hillary's, you'd still be talking about it even if she lost.
In 2005, and it had nothing to do with Russia. Look,
see, people wonder think we don't talk politics, and here we are, and that we're not slugging each other.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back more with Sally Cohn on the other side. Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. And as we continue with Sally Cohn, the brand new book she's written, it's called The Opposite of Hate, A Field Guide to Repairing Our Humanity. It's on Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. You know, at the end of the day, there are bigger picture issues that are more important, and we kind of forget.
Right.
You know, I mean, I sometimes find myself, because I'm working so much, I'll be outside and I'll hear a bird sing and I'll feel a whiff of a breeze. And I'm like, okay, I haven't felt that in a year because you're so busy working.
Right. And then we forget that we all probably care about the birds in the air and the health of our, you know, planet and the ability to breathe in the air. And right. And like we, you know, I mean, yes, we tend to. We are in this hyper-reality TV showified moment in politics.
Is that what this is?
Right, where it's then taken over our media, where then we, you got to agree with me, then we even elect, we've done it so much we elect a reality star, right? We got to get back to some common, the ability to talk together.
He's doing a great job when if you look at his record and all the people back to work and the lowest level of unemployment for African Americans and Hispanic Americans, and he's keeping his promises and we're energy independent and we have the biggest tax cut, bigger than Reagan's, I'm pretty happy. I think all of that's good you see that picture over there? That's called.
Yes.
See that guy on the bench in that first picture?
Oh, yeah, that one.
The forgotten man.
Sorry, this is radio.
That's what that election was about.
I agree. But so here's the thing. Look, we could still argue, and you know, he's very good at baiting me, folks. But the first thing is, I know I'm not going to debate the meager accomplishments of Trump with you. But what I am going to say is that I think you're right. What I think is right is that too many people in this country feel that they have been forgotten, and they feel like they were shafted by the elite politicians on both sides of the aisle. And that actually, a lot of people I know and care about, too, on the left, they have the same concern, too, that this country has stopped working for regular people.
Why do you think that we are, I would categorize us as good friends? Why do we get along so well and other people on your side of the aisle hate me? No, that's a fair. I think that's because we've always gotten along.
But some don't. Listen, here's the thing.
Many do.
I'll be honest. The problem is, and it does shock people, the problem is that there are, you know, from my perspective as a lefty, right, that there are nice people on the right and there are mean people on the left. There are also, by the way, nice people on the left and mean people on the right.
Totally agree.
So I want to associate with nice people. And by the way, I want to encourage them to be even nicer.
So along really well? And how come other people that have opposing views don't get along as well as we do? Because we don't take it personally.
Well, because we're not making it personal. I mean, if you wanted to in about 5 seconds, you could make it personal. Right?
I don't think.
But you could.
You know what?
And probably both of us have at other times in different debates and different moments.
You know
right?
what a problem I have with people that are on the left, if I get to know them and like them, it disarms me.
It's
so unfair.
You see,
actually.
And that's the other thing is people, what people
so
don't
unfair.
Realize is
it's
like.
It's much easier to beat up somebody I don't know.
Guys, he's kind of a teddy bear.
That's not true.
Oh, my God. Whole studio is laughing because they know it's true. He doesn't want you to know that, America.
I'm not a teddy bear.
But he's a nice guy. What's wrong with being nice?
Breaking news now.
All right. All the wise ass in there. Go ahead with breaking news now. Hannity's an okay guy. Listen, the book is phenomenal. What we're doing is we're putting it up on Hannity.com.
Thanks, Sean.
And Amazon.com. It's in bookstores everywhere.
You blurbed it.
I did blurb it. I said, Sally and I agree on very little politically, but somehow, in spite of that, we've navigated a friendship that transcends everything else. This book explains it all. It really does. And you know what? This is one of those books where you need to stand back and say, okay, yeah, we can still get along. And great work
on
you.
I hope so.
It speaks to the person you are and the heart you have. So love having you on the program. You're always welcome. Good to see you.
Really nice to see you.
Have a good book tour.
Thank you, Sean.
800-941-SEAN. Wide open telephones as we continue.
See that truck. Show it to me, please. That truck outside, the monster, specially painted for this. Now, wait a minute. When you say you're giving it away, how's this work?
What we're going to do is you're going to take current veterans of the military, active members of the military and first responders that and they can go on a Rocket Ridge truck, Rocket Ridge RocketRidgeGive.com and register. RocketRidgeGive.com and register to win this truck. And then in March, we're going to do a drawing. We're going to have six members of a panel to decide who's going to win the truck.
So you register, you're a veteran or a first responder. You say who you are and what you did.
What you've done for America, what you've done for someone else. Because, you know, right now, first responders and also our military is not.
And that's judged.
Yes, they're going
to
be
show
judged.
Show me the truck again. We've got to go to President Trump any moment now. But show me that truck again, please. He's got an eagle on the side, I think.
Beautiful.
The man who painted it right there, Tex, is with us.
Yes, Tex McDormand.
Tex McDormand. Is that an eagle? It is an eagle. That's good.
Yes, and that's hand-painted. Nice. That's, so that's not a wrap. That is hand-painted.
Oh, I want it.
That. Yes.
I want
yes.
All right, that was my friend Stuart Varney interviewing the great Herschel Walker, who joins us in studio. Former NFL player, obviously, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants. Now also a potential mixed martial artist. Maybe he's going to jump in the octagon. What they were talking about is nominate a hero to win a truck, and it's called the True American Hero Truck Giveaway. This truck is amazing. You can go to my website, Hannity.com, and take a look at it. And also, with us, because he actually partnered, Herschel Walker did, with Rocky Ridge Trucks. They launched this giveaway contest that awarded this hand-painted, it's absolutely stunning, beautiful, completely American-made, 2018 Chevrolet Silverado 1500. It's worth $80,000 to a U.S. veteran, Brian Jason. You got the truck?
Sure did.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
First of all, congratulations. This truck is awesome. And that's all hand-painted, all of that?
Yeah, that's hand-painted. And another thing that's going to happen is, Brian, is also getting like a tell him about your turbo. You're not just a turbo. He's going to get some horsepower to it, about 560.
You're going to crank it up even more? Seriously?
I got to give Herschel credit for that one. I think he threw that at Burl last minute.
Well,
I think Burl was in a to do it.
They gave me a truck to drive around, and they gave me one with a little bit of superchargers on it. And I said, well, this one don't have it on it, so I think they deserve to have a supercharge. So they gave him a little bit more and put a supercharger on him because we want to go fast.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to go fast too, but you haven't gotten pulled over by the cops as much as I have, obviously.
Well, I have gotten pulled over, but I talked my way out of it with this
charm and
smile. Of course,
you're Herschel Walker.
Well, you know, everyone says I look like Herschel Walker, but they don't think I'm him. I get that a lot.
Well, this is a really cool thing. So obviously there's a big story behind you and the nomination and your service to your country. I want people to understand how you got nominated and how you ended up, because there's so many heroes. I mean, we should be doing this like once a day for everybody. And maybe there's a way to do it. I always like to dream big. But tell us about your life, your career, your service in the military.
Well, first of all, I want to say, there was over, 5,000 heroes nominated, and, you know, all of them are heroes to somebody. So, I just happened to be the fortunate one to get picked. But, why was I picked? I served my country at a very high level. My team did a lot of good things overseas. Unfortunately, I can't go into detail on a whole heck of a lot of it. But the judges must have saw something in the write-up. I'll never take credit for what me and my team did. It was a team effort.
Who nominated you?
An old boss of mine, actually. Yeah. He was a boss. His name's Randy, and I'm in Pittsburgh. So
Randy nominated you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is, he moved and took a job in Dallas, so I haven't really seen him in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this phone call that I was actually blowing off because I thought it was a scam.
And, this is Herschel Walker.
not from Herschel. From Herschel. It was from Rocky Ridge.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a scam. And then eventually they called Randy, and Randy called me, and he said, you need to call these people back because I nominated you for something. So I didn't even know there was an award out there.
Tell us the story, though. Everybody, I mean, look, 5,000 people. Your story is pretty amazing.
Well, like you say, you can't go into a lot of details because of some of the things that he did. But one of the things about his story that really touched us a lot is he never worried about himself. And that's one thing I think that a lot of people don't realize about these great responders and our military service veterans and our active members is it ain't about them. And that's the way Brian has been. It's never about him. He was always about someone else. And when he won, it was like he
wanted it for his team rather than for him and his wife, and it was for him. And that's what touched me a lot is he said, you know, my team. And you go, wow, man, that's big there because, you know, and being an athlete, sometimes we get selfish. We get selfish and assume we deserve the trophy and it's not a team thing. And that's what I like about Brian, and that's the reason he deserved it and the reason he won it.
That's a really great story. And those are all the stories that you're not allowed to tell that everybody wants to hear, you know. But if people – and I know too many people in the military. I know too many people in the intelligence community. And I know the dangers they face every day. I mean, this is life and death stuff that you face that we kind of take for granted because, you know, we go about our daily lives – And that's why you do it, so we can be free to pursue our dreams. You know, look at this incredible man next to us here, Herschel Walker. What a career you've had. And I love the fact that you're so active in giving back. I also am amazed you've taken some strong positions. You actually like Donald Trump.
Oh, I do. I like Donald, and yeah. I will continue to support Donald. And, you know, what's sad about this whole situation here, and I'm not calling out Democratic. I'm going to call out anyone that's not respecting Donald Trump. He's our president. I was listening to the news earlier, and someone made a statement that he's your president, but they were asking the guy that's running for, I think, Secretary of State, he's your president. No, he's your president as well. Unless you don't like him, then you leave this country. Because he was voted in by a system we put in place. And if you don't like the system, you got to change the system. But Donald Trump is my president. He's my leader. And we should follow him, you know, whether you like him or not. But what's great about it, and because of people like Brian, we have a chance to vote him out. You know, we're not in a country where, you know, you can do something and you don't get a vote. We have a voice today, but we got to use that voice in the right manner, and I speak out about it.
You also spoke out about the national anthem. I was glad you did. And this kind of dovetails into why Brian is here. And I've always viewed that flag as sacrosanct in this sense.
Oh, it is.
People fought, bled, and died fighting under that flag. And listen, I'm all for freedom of speech. I'm all for freedom of expression. I'm all for, you know, whatever cause you believe in, you know, peacefully protest, demonstrate, but not to stand for the flag. To me, it was disrespectful to all that fought, bled, died.
It was disrespectful to America. And yeah. I'm gonna throw it back on leadership. And I said, guys, you know, the commissioner, he can hate me. I can never get into the Hall of Fame. I don't care. It's got to be leadership, because when it first happened, he should have put a stop to it then. And people said it wasn't about the flag, but it was about the flag, because you decided you were not going to stand for the flag. And there has been people that have fought and they died for it. White, black, green, yellow, it doesn't matter what color you are. But you fought for that flag. And they say it's not about the flag, but it is about the flag. And I disagree with it. But I also said leadership should have took the place and said, no, you're going to stand because this is your job. It is your responsibility. And I think right there, I think leadership dropped the ball.
It's even in the bylaws and the rules that the team set out for the players. And by the way, there are other freedom of speech issues that come up. You're not allowed to do a dance in the end zone. You're not allowed to do this in the end zone. I mean, they've got so many restrictions about what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot wear. So the idea that we're stifling the NFL or players or freedom of expression, nobody wants to stifle them. I actually liked Robert Kraft, who I got to know a couple times. I met him, and he said, well, I said to my players, if you want, I'll match you dollar for dollar, and we'll go into the community, whatever charity is most important, near and dear to your heart. I'll match it. You know, let's bring it to the community. And apparently he did. And it had a pretty big impact.
Well, you know, I think that shows good leadership. And yeah. That's the reason you see the New England Patriots in the playoffs every year. Because they have good leadership. And yeah. I said, that's what it takes in this country today.
Also have Tom Brady.
Tom Brady helps out a lot.
Because and Gronk.
That helps out a great deal. But yeah. And that's what I've been saying right now. And that's why I stand behind Donald Trump. I think he's a great leader. I think the people should give him a chance. He was voted in. Give the man a chance to supervise, to run this country. Because if you don't give him a chance, he's having to fight within his party, fight within the people.
Every day. He's not had a free day.
And that's what's sad.
All right, I got to ask you, because do you work out with Herschel, Brian?
No, I do not work
you
out.
Don't.
With
her. All right, so you have the most insane workout regimen of anybody that I've ever heard of, and are you still thinking about going in the octagon?
Oh, no, I still will fight. You know, it's no big deal. You know, one of the things about it is—
No big deal. I'm not going in the octagon with you. And I train 5 days a week.
Well, you know, I think what it is I'm still competing. And because I'm competing, I say that I do 1,500 push-ups, 3,500 sit-ups a day. And the reason why is the guy that I'm competing against may be doing 500 pounds in weights. He may be doing, out doing all those things. So I want to be ready when he steps into that cage or that octagon and let him know that, you know, I'll be your huckleberry. It ain't going to be an easy day for you.
I'm not going to be in there with you unless I'm coaching you. How do you do 1,500 push-ups a day?
Yeah, one thing you
have to do. I do 100 to 200. I mean,
well,
that's it.
Push-ups are very boring. So you want to play tricks on the mind. One thing you don't want to do is do a standard push-up. Move the hands around.
Yeah, we do
work
that.
Work the total body. But take a deck of cards. What you want to do is take a deck of cards, split them in half, and flip a card over, and that's what you want to do in the push-ups, and go all the way down to the end of the deck, and then start back your way back up, and you'll be shocked how many push-ups you've done. Or decide to watch a TV show, and if you're going to take
an hour. So you're saying take a card away every time you do a push-up? Yeah,
every time you do a push-up, if you turn the cards over, it's a 10, do 10 push-up, do 9 push-up, do 3.
That's the only time in my life I'm going to hope for a 2.
Well, and that works, but then when you're doing the 2, go down real slowly or put the hands together. Don't make it as easy for you, because people think life is easy. Life is very difficult, and
nothing
one thing
easy.
You got to realize is you got to sacrifice. You know, everybody don't want to sacrifice. You know, you want to be an athlete, but you want to pay the price to be an athlete. You can't. If you want to be an athlete, you can't go to a club. You can't go out to a bar drinking. You can't do this. If you want to make good grades, I'm sorry.
When did you learn that? And when? Because a lot of athletes. You know, so many talented athletes, they get caught up almost immediately in that other life, because doors open that were never opened before, and they're famous, and they've got money that they never had before, and they're going to the clubs, and then all of a sudden their performance begins to decline, and it's really not a surprise. But a lot of people get caught up in that trap. How did you avoid it?
Well, I think I avoided it by having my parents that gave me that the foundation to understand that, you know, nothing is free in life. And, you know, Brian will tell you, you know, there's a price for freedom. And there's a lot of people that pay that price for me. So I don't want to waste it. You know, I don't want to waste it. You know, my parents, I love them to death. They give me a good foundation, but I also want to be a good father. Mm-hmm. I want to show that same respect to my son, because I want him to grow up to be like I was.
How old is your son?
He's 18. And
mine's 19. Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
But, you know, one thing that's great about him is the little boy just won the national champion in the competitive cheer gymnastic thing.
That's
and every
awesome.
Time someone sees me, they say, oh, is he a football player? I said, no, he's a cheerleader. Mm. He does that competitive cheer. He loves it.
By the way, that they're throwing you 45 feet up in the air. Good luck.
Very, very difficult sport. But one thing I tell them that they'll be proud of, he is also a student in college. He's supposed to be a senior in high school.
Where's
he's
go?
A sophomore in college at SMU.
Oh, great school.
He could have went to Georgia for free, but he's at SMU where we're paying.
Really?
So it's a
Sean,
little
do you want to try something with Herschel right now? You want to do some push-ups? Because, I mean, you're incredibly strong.
You want me to do push-ups?
I think
can
you and Herschel
push-ups.
Should get down on the floor and do some push-ups.
How many do you want me to do?
Yeah, 2.
We can do
lucky number 2.
We can do 25. I tell you, why don't we do
I'll tell you what. You can watch me do 25 for Facebook.
But no, I'll tell you what we'll do real quick. It won't take that long. We're going to do
we only
do like 5. We'll do 2 minutes. We'll do 5, but we're going to do a hand position. We're going to go all the way down to touch the chest on the hand. We got to go out wide with 1, 2.
Got
three.
It. Let's do it.
Okay, ready?
All right. By the way, Brian, God bless you. Honestly,
thank you.
I know you can't talk about what you've done. I'm very, very happy about the True American Hero Truck Giveaway. Awesome story that you can't tell, but it is one of heroism and one where it's nice to see the men that save our freedoms every day honored this way. And it's been great to have you in studio. Thank you.
A superhero. He's a true superhero right here.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have to do push-ups. You already served your
country. You don't have to do them. All right. I'm going to do this. We'll put it on Facebook with Herschel. All right. All right. That's going to wrap things up for today. Let not your heart be troubled. Hannity tonight. We have the latest breakdown of what is the biggest witch hunt, abuse of power scandals in the history of the country. Governor Mike Huckabee, Greg Jarrett, Dan Bongino, Dr. Gorka, Sarah Carter. We're watching Syria with Ali North, and also we'll check in with Alan Dershowitz, Jason Chaffetz, Piers Morgan, and more. That's all happening 9 Eastern, Hannity on the Fox News Channel. We hope you set your DVR, and remember, we'll have the very latest on Deep State Gate, the latest on the abuse of power right here on this program tomorrow as well. Don't forget, you can go to Hannity.com, at Sean Hannity on Twitter, and you can always communicate with us that way. All right, that ends our time for today. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.